ಯಸ್ಮಿನಿದಂ ಯತಶ್ಚೈದಂ ಜೀನೀದಂ ಯ ಇದಂ ಸಯಂ ಜೂವಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಪರಸ್ಮಾಚ್ಚ ಪರಃ ತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ದೇ ಶಯಂಭುವಂ ಅಸ್ಪರ್ಶಜೂಗು ವೈ ನಾಮ ಸರ್ವಸತ್ತುಸುಖೋಹಿತ ಅವಿವಾದೋ ಅವಿರುದ್ಧಶ್ಚ ದೇಶಿತಾಸ್ತಂ ನಮಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಐ ಟೇಕ್ ರೆಫ್ಯೂಜ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಹೂಮ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಬೈ ಹೂಮ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಇನ್ ಹೂಮ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಹೂ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. ಐ ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ರೊಫೌಂಡ್ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ ವಿಚ್ ಟಾಟ್ ಅಸ್ ದಿ ಯೋಗ ಆಫ್ ನಾನ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್. There is no second thing to get attached. It is for the happiness and welfare of all people. This truth is free from all disputation and is free from all contradiction. Om, peace, peace, peace. It's my great joy to be here again, and our respected Swamijis and our dear devotees. Today is a very special day for us in both ways. One is a holy day, it is a Ratha Jatra. Ratha Jatra is a festival of Jagannath's chariot festival. It is called Jagannath's chariot festival. That's a very auspicious thing. Millions of people have assembled in Puri, Jagannath and other places also. The idea is that the Lord of the universe, Jagat Natha, the Lord of the universe, comes down this day and meets with the people from above down, and the people feel that they are carrying pulling his chariot. Also there is a statement that who pulls the chariot? People think that they are pulling the chariot. Path bhave ami dev, rod bhave ami. The road thinks that I am allowing this chariot to move. And rod, the chariot thinks that yes, I am rolling on. And path bhave ami dev, rod bhave ami. And murti bhave ami dev. The image, it thinks that I am the Lord, and the Lord inside, he always hasin antar jami, the who is inside, he smiles. So this is the problem of our life, that we look at this world, we look at the chariot, we look at the road in which we travel, but we do not know who is behind this chariot, whose will is working the whole universe. And today also is a great day of our joy, because today is the day of Swamiji's birthday. Swami Swahananda Maharaj's birthday, who is the founder of this center. Not only this center, his contribution really is immense in propagation of the Vedanta ideal. His dream was to reach this, to send this message, to bring this message to the heart of all. So it was his mission till his death. He did this work for spreading this message and also establishing centers where the devotees will come. And this is one of the example what he did. And it's one of the vibrant center where Swami Swahanandaji placed it, and in the able hand of our Swami Atmagyanananda Maharaj, assisted by Brahma Rupanandaji. She is silent, but he also has a great contribution. And also all of you who are inspired by Swamiji, and really it is a great day. We can think of his presence here today. Yesterday in one place there were a good gathering of who celebrated Swamiji's birthday. One of our doctor friend in Los Angeles, and they are very happy. And we are also happy to hear that. Anyhow, Now we go to the topic, the way we see the world. Actually, this world is what? It is very difficult to describe, to understand. It's full of mystery. And also our views are so different. And we all see the world through our own mental perspective, our speculations of the mind. What it is, the Upanishads declare that it is all divine, it is all Brahman, it is all Atman, it is all consciousness. Just we referred the very beginning, the verse we quoted, that was from Bhagavat, which mentioned the self-existing being, from whom is this universe, by whom is this universe, in whom is this universe, who himself is this universe, who is also beyond the universe. This is a beautiful expression of what is this world. It is that reality. It is that reality which we see, which we feel, which we perceive. But this is the mystery, great mystery. We see, but we don't see. And we see, each of us, see the same truth according to our own concept, how our mind dictates us to see. So that's why it is cannot be defined. It is unknown and unknowable in that sense. In brief, the world appears to us as the way our mind explains to us. It is the explanation of the mind, the senses perceive and mind explains. The human attempts to understand, see and describe this indescribable truth makes it so much varied and also apparently contradictory views. Yet it cannot change the eternal, which is the background of all apparent forms and names. The world is good. We cannot say it is good. Is it bad? No, it is bad for somebody. Somebody may say, oh, see, what a beautiful shining day today. And very cheerful, very happy. But the same day, the same this moment is a terrible moment for some people. Some people is excited, being what he got a new news, and which gives tremendous joy in one's heart. And someone at the same time is really tormented by some news. So what is this world then? You cannot say that it is good, bad, or it is a mixture of both. Someone can say this is a world of pleasure. No, it is not a world of pleasure. To some, it appears full of pain. We are elderly people. If you ask us, what is the day? Oh, my neck is like this, my back is like that, my knee is like that. So we talk about our pains. The world is, to us, mostly pain. You ask a young boy in his mid-20s or youthful time, the world is full of flower, full of joy, full of ecstatic things. So to some people it is full of peace, to some people it is full of restlessness. Some it is beautiful, to some it is ugly, it is mean, it is unkind. So some is a place of heaven, heaven-like place. To some, it appears like almost it is hellish experience. So it is neither. So what is reality? If it is this or that, then it will not have so many views. Views are coming because it is neither this good or bad or this and that. That's why it is indescribable. Yet, to describe it, the sages used some words. Different words have been used. What is this world? In the spiritual sense, some say it is Satchidananda. Some say it is absolute truth, abiding reality. Supreme Brahman. Some say it is God. Some say Rama. Some say Krishna. Some say Hari. And there are so many philosophies. That's why it's philosophy. How we view the world. Actually, philosophy means darshan. Actually, Sanskrit word is darshan. English translation is philosophy. If you go to the real Sanskrit word, darshan means to view, to see. As I see. And I see the world. You cannot say that my seeing is wrong because you are seeing in one way and I am seeing another way. Everyone is right. You may say that how that is possible. Everyone is right. I am also right. You are also right. Then what is right? Yes. Right in the sense that you are viewing from one perspective and I am viewing from another perspective. I view the world according to my mental construct, my mental impulses, my mental coloring. I am seeing the world with my glass, eyeglass. This is external eyeglass. Internal eyeglass is our mind. The external eyeglass, if it makes red, I see everything red. And if it is blue, it is blue. So what is there, it remains the same. It is the same unchanging truth. Only I am viewing this way because my mind is colored in this way. Your mind is colored that way. So we cannot say you are wrong or I am wrong. That's why Ramakrishna came into rescue. That everyone is viewing the same thing, but they are only describing differently. Different philosophies have come. All the world philosophies are describing what is God or what is their experience about God. When they express it, it comes to the mouth, it comes to their mind, to their intellect. So all this coloring, these medias through which the truth percolates and brings the message, that is the perception of individual. So long the world is viewed through the lens of our mind, it will appear as is the coloring of our mind, and we will have diverse opinions and diverse philosophies. If anyone expects that the world will feel the same way, it is not Vedantic thought. It is not rational thought. Say, the view. So William Blake, in The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, he writes that if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. For man has closed himself up till he sees all things through the narrow chinks of his cavern. So, what a beautiful expression of William Blake. These saints and sages talk the same thing in different language all over the globe. So you see, he is saying that if the doors of perception, what are the doors of perception? These eyes, ears, the senses, and then this door goes to the inner door, to the mind, to the intellect, to the ego. If the doors of perception were cleansed, then everything would appear to man as it is. What is Blake's understanding? As it is what? Is infinite. And infinite has no two. Infinite has no diversity. If you say infinite, you cannot bring all this discussion about diversity and multiplicity there. But the question is the doors of perception should be cleansed. For man has closed himself up. The whole philosophy of life is here. We have closed ourselves up. And till he sees all things through the narrow chinks of his cavern, this little ego, to that I am trying to see, if that is not transcended, this perception will remain my perception. Your perception is your perception. Your philosophy, my philosophy, my philosophy. That's why there is the philosophy of Charvakas, there are the philosophies of Vaisheshikas, Nayayikas, so many philosophies. You can talk of not only the six systems of philosophy in India, you can talk about hundreds and thousands of philosophies. And we, each one of us, have one philosophy of life, which is represented by my sense perception, the opening of the perceptions. So it is the truth remains the truth, but that appears to us. And when the mind becomes clean, it shows that everything is glittering in the light of that consciousness. No? William Blake, again, he has this wonderful, you all, it's very oft quoted verse, saying he found unity at the heart of all things, expressing itself in endless diversity. He wrote in the unforgettable lines in the opening stanza of Auguries of Innocence. And what is the innocence? To see a world in a grain of sand, and heaven in a wild flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. This is a perception, no? What type of perception? That you can see wild flowers, millions and billions are everywhere. But the wild flower, you can see heaven in a wild flower. Who is shining through? Our Upanishads again and again declare, no? Who shines through? Whose glory? Whose smile? Whose brightness? Whose the leaves? Now see, look at the leaves of these trees now. Just last few months, you go back, it was all dead trees. And suddenly something come. Who is trying to manifest? Whose glory is getting out? And it is beauty everywhere, beauty everywhere. But whose beauty? That is the question. So the mystic vision, in mystic vision, the world resonates in a different level of reality. Infinite is lurking behind every mundane things of the world. And the way we see that Blake saw that way, no? The world is a different world pulsating in the consciousness or some infinite reality behind the matter as we see. Similarly, you go, Rabindranath Tagore says, Shimar majhe asim, tumi bajao apon shankha. In the sima is a limited, very narrow, limited things. O asim, O limitless, O endless, you are playing your flute, you are trying to manifest. So, but we see the sima, and in that area, we carry our perception, our impressions on that. As I am trained to think, a scientist thinks the world is, say, bacteriologist, what he sees the world, full of bacteria. Because, you know, they will wash the hand so many times before you go to eat. But, you know, we don't know all these things, so we can use our fingers or whatever, not that much worried about things. But they know what is what, that's why they become very careful about that. Say, a neuroscientist, how he will look at the body. He looks at me, he will not see the eyes, this, that. He sees something else. So every person with that background of the art or science and something, they view the same person in different. In our ancient time, example is given. That they, you know, one lady walking in the street. There is an old man who lost his daughter, so he's seeing that lady is a old, a classical example of our scriptures. Then they will think, oh, she's my daughter, as it were. In her mind, in his mind, the impression of the daughter will come up. That emotion, it will come, and he will be overwhelmed with that. Another person going, he is looking at her in a lustful way. So her emotions will be different. Another person thinking, my elder sister was like that, no? And see, I lost her. So her emotion is one way. So the person is the same, but perceptions are different. Similarly, the reality here is the same, but our perception is different. So in the story that if we look at the world on the superficially, the value, what it gives outside, I refer that story here again, maybe. Those are few stories I know. Say Shankara's story. Shankara was going taking a bath and going to the Shiva temple. And suddenly there appeared one, a dirty dog, a street dog in Calcutta, not American dogs. So, and a crazy man, lunatic, appearing like lunatic, dirty all over body, and got a piece of toast or bread to eat. So he's riding on the dog, dirty dog, and then giving a bite for his own eating and feeding the dog, and then taking again second time for a bite for himself and feeding the dog. This was going on, and Shankara was coming, and he wants to go to the holy place, the temple. So he said, Duram apasarare chandala. Oh, outcast, please get away from my way. I am now Ganga water, I have taken shower, and I am now going to the holy temple. And you, dirty dog and unclean things, and you are blocking my road. Then that man, that the crazy man, he laughed. And he outburst, she said, Vishnu paristhito Vishnu, Vishnu khadati Vishnave, katam hasasire Vishnu, sarvam Vishnu mayam jagat. Are you, Vishnu, you're smiling at me? Crazy man, I am Vishnu. And the dog you are seeing, it's a dog, it is Vishnu. And Vishnu, I Vishnu, am feeding the Vishnu. And you, Vishnu, standing and ridiculing me. What is Vishnu? That's seeing the oneness, no? And that give a flash of realization. See, from the superficial seeing to the deeper seeing, it is Shankara is not a man like us. But look at that point, that even Shankara reaching that flight, when in a relative level this duality comes, that covers his vision of oneness, what about us? We will be always deluded. No problem for that. And don't feel bad about that. Rather, let us think that that is the ultimate truth, unchanging truth. Even you see as dog, is as a crazy person, as dirty or as holy. You see, we sing a song. Antara Rama, Bahara Rama, Jo Kuchu Dekhata Rama Hi Rama. So those who are Rama devotee, this is Jo Kuchu Dekhata, whatever you see, it is only Rama, Rama, Rama. Only you see that is coating, the covering is different covering. They are wearing different masks. See, that story, what is called Krishna? Jaha jaha netra pade, taha taha Krishna spure. Wherever your eyes befall, there the Krishna reveals the Krishna. To whom? To a person whose mirror is clean. That's why he chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. That has been Chaitanya's prayer, no? Cheto darpana marjanam. Chitta darpan is to be wiped clean. That was the sadhana. That is the spiritual practice. So that it gives a clarity of vision. Not the thing we see through our apparent external eyes and external senses. We find that there, even you look at the Abhinava Gupta, who is a master in the Kashmiri Shaivism. He writes in his Paramartha Dadosika. He writes, at all times spread peace and check the stream of chatter with those who speak of the trifling things. Fall not into the habit of asking what or why is that and who are you. That which shines uninterruptedly with glittering splendor, making distinct the phenomenal and imagined things of the world, is itself free from all distinctions. What perception of object can there be in the void, the domain of Shiva, the abiding reality, the supreme Brahman? These are languages different, because Kashmiri Shaivism That is close to Vedanta, but anyhow, or tantric, they can say. But what the philosophical experience is the same. That is the major point. That which shines uninterruptedly with a glittering splendor, that which is shining, making distinct, this world is distinct. I am distinct from you, you are distinct from all other. Even the two ice flakes, when they are not similar. Who make this distinction? So it is distinct, the phenomenal and imagined things of the world, what we say it is distinct from this and that. He who makes it, who is the background, that is the shines uninterruptedly, day and night, ages together, that is the only reality trying to manifest itself. So what perception of object in which seeing you, this is a perception of object, can there be in this void? Ultimately, it is what? It is all divine, they call mother. You can say it is Shiva. So he says, when this void, even Vedanta, when Buddha's Buddhistic philosophy says void, what is the void? It's very difficult to say, but we as Vedantists will say it is void. Void of what? Void of this phenomenal universe. This phenomenal universe does not remain there, as I am seeing now, in that void of in the nirvana state of Buddha. What was there? Who will say what was there? You read the Dhammapada and you will find this talking exactly the same language as Vedanta talks. Maybe little emphasis is not to describe it. But to not to describe it, something is described. And that gives the idea about that state of nirvana. So here also, Abhinava Gupta is talking about that in the there, what perception of object, you want to perceive something? How can there be any perception? Where? In the void, when that there is nothing, this phenomenal universe is not there. And the domain, that is the domain of Shiva, he describes as the domain of Shiva. The abiding reality, he is talking about Shiva, we call Brahman, someone called Mother. Matters little, but if Ramakrishna's guidance is here, people call in different names. Upanishad says that one in many. Ekangshat vipra bahudha vadanti. So if that is the truth, then this supreme truth, that is what is Brahman, and he is saying that is domain of Shiva, that void, what perception is possible? So our perception, what we are doing, it is all wrong perception. But still, to understand this, we have to go a little bit deeper, how this perception of division of so many has happened. It is not that truth has changed anyway, but our perception about the truth is becoming different to different persons. It is like the infinite reality is obscured by cloud. But who creates the cloud? The same sun creates the cloud. And when the sun creates the cloud, we say the sun is not there. It has happened the same way. But we see the cloud, patches of cloud, different shapes and size of the cloud. You can see some demon there, you can see some angel there, according to your mind. You look at the same. Did you see the full moon night? And what do you see? I have asked many people. They express different views about the same moon. I am also looking, and another person is also looking. He has his description. Oh, there is the mountain, there is this. Someone says, oh, it is Holy Mother. Don't see? That is the nose, that is the eyes, that is this. You see how it is so different. Where is this rock or a mountain versus Holy Mother's nose and eyes and this? What can you say? This is the lips. See? That means it is indescribable truth. You cannot describe it. But we are viewing though the same thing, but we are not viewing. So it is our vision is cluttered. That's why megachanna, ghanachanna drishtim, ghanachanna markam, jatha baddhavad bhati. In the Vedanta Saro it says, ghanachanna drishtim, my drishti, vision, is obscured. Ghana, achanna, covered. Ghanachanna markam, I think there is no arka, the sun. Sun is not there. And what I see? I see this diverse name and form. But who has created this diversity? The same sun has created the cloud. Cloud has been created not by any other ghost, but the sun itself. Similarly, Brahman, or the absolute consciousness, it is, we call his power. We call his Maya Shakti. And that has covered it, and not only covered, but it creates a different impression. That's why in Vedanta you know two philosophies. What is Maya? Maya means Maya has two power. One is called the Avarana, covering aspect. Another is called the Vikshepa, projecting aspect. Maya does not do only cover our knowledge, but Maya covers the truth. Does not allow us to see the truth. Not only that, it digresses my mind into the diversity which is created by him. Why? There is no explanation. Ramakrishna said it is for fun. But we are in the middle of the fun and we are suffering. Then somebody says, Ramakrishna said, who are you? Where do you come from? You are not there at all. It is the play of the one divine entity. So take away your ego, then you will see it. But so long ego is there, this world will be viewed in so many ways. In the Mandukya Karika, you know, Gaurapada, you know, Shankaracharya's guru's guru. It's called Gaurapada. Shankara, he wrote on the Mandukya Upanishad, very small Upanishad, but its explanation is so big. And Gaurapada wrote that Karika explanation. And there he has mentioned that 35 world views about that truth. Several views he has given, seeing the same truth, but description of the sages or the followers of that each tradition, how they view. Only 35 is mentioned, but you know we say that in India, 35, how many? So many millions of gods are there in India. So God means your perception about the divinity. So here, Gaurapada mentions that it is interesting that these views are even still prevalent in our society today. It is not in the ancient time, Gaurapada's time, but it is still now. The word Sanskrit is, as we all know, it is gam, it moves, it changes. And who perceives this world? Whether physical or mental, gross or subtle, this physical universe or subtle universe, the earth or heaven and hell, who perceives it? That it is our mind as the first perceiver. Mind, reception, all the information goes to the brain cell, through the eyes, and reaches the brain cell. And brain cell is not sufficient. It may be what consciousness, that is a question. What makes the brain cells conscious? That's a different issue. But at least beyond the brain cell, there is a mind which receives this. And it explains. And it sends that message to buddhi, intellect. And buddhi sends it to ego. And behind that ego is the effulgent consciousness. Or we call Satchidananda or God, whatever language you see. That light of that consciousness illumines the understanding presented by mind to the buddhi and buddhi to the ego. And then ego says, I understand. Go and fight. Or run away. Someone is running, chasing you, run away. So all this information is coming that way. That's why Swami Vivekananda said, you realize God first and then you see the chair. That because here the first reflection comes of the consciousness on the ego and then your action comes. That's why your perception does not become complete unless the light of the consciousness falls on the perception which the senses carry to the nervous system, to the brain, to the mind, to the ego, intellect and ego. So this is the Swami Vivekananda, that's why he said, the mountains of today were the oceans of yesterday and will be ocean tomorrow, because everything is changing. Everything is in a state of flux. The whole universe is a mass of change. But there is one who never changes, and that is God. The whole is worship of God. Whatever we are doing, it is Swamiji said, Vivekananda said, whatever we are doing, consciously or unconsciously, you are breathing, that is also is worship of God. Wherever there is life, there is this search for freedom, and that freedom is the same as God. So the life to go on, to live, these are the ways. And the object remains the same. But our sensate joy and suffering depends on how our mind colors it and presents before us our unripened ego, back of which shines the ripened I, ripened ego, unchanging, blissful, conscious reality. The stone remains the stone. When you go to shopping place or you go to a religious shopping place and you purchase, see so many Ganeshas, and you select one Ganesha. And you can bargain also. It is $10, I shall give you $5. But that time, till then, it was metallic something. Now you put into your altar, then what happens? Then you pray, oh Ganesha, please help me. So you are invoking Ganesha, as if Ganesha will be alive. And when you have the vision of Ganesha, then what will happen? The stone will remain stone, or the metal will remain the metal. But you will see the divine expression of presence of the divine. No. So similarly, if the background is the conscious entity, whatever you see is not important. The truth, unchanging truth, remains the same. So there are 39 different views, as Gaurapada said. So let me at least give a few of taste of those, and how we view the world, and how religious traditions look upon the world in different ways, where there is a place for materialistic view to the absolute view of non-dualism. All are possible there. Here, in the Gaurapada, in this Karika 2.20, he says, prana iti prana vidho, bhutan iti tachat vidha, guna iti guna vidaha, tatvan iti chatad vidha, pada iti pada vidha, vishaya iti tad vidha, loka iti loka vidha, deva iti chatad vidha. Eight philosophies. 5 minutes, within 5 minutes, eight philosophies will finish. See, first says prana iti prana vidha. This is the philosophy of the Vaisheshika philosophy. And they are worshippers of Hiranyagarbha, that means the extra cosmic, that effulgent God, to be the cause of this universe. And it says that everything is vibrating. Today, science says everything is vibrating with prana, energy. No? There is nothing solid. There is in this universe, whatever you see is wrong. That they are pranavids. They see that it is all energy, energy, energy. It's the rotation of electron, proton, and go down to electron, to go to subdivision of it, and break it, and go where? You go to the Higgs boson particle. That infinite energy pulsating behind all this gross, heavy stone you see, there is no stone. Heavy rock you see, there is no rock. There is no tree, there is no plant, there is no human, but it's all energy, energy, energy. So this prana iti prana vidha. They have gone up to that far, and they say the prana. Prana does not mean your vital air only, but it is the prana is the total energy, which is in the ground. So energy is the foundation of all creation. In ancient times, these philosophers, believing in this cosmic energy, worshipped it as God to find liberation. Pranavit, they are called the Pranavit. Now, there are Bhutani ticha tadvida. There is another way of looking at the world, and those were the charvakas. They saw this whole world is made of bhutas. What are the bhutas? Four elements. They didn't go to the five element. These charvakas went up to four elements. What are the four? Air, water, fire, and what is the other one? Earth. These are the four. They didn't go to space. See, you see, it is a very truth that everything is coming out, our body is getting alive, we are eating. What do we eat? These four elements. Breath you are taking, you are eating some food, you take calorie, heat. So you take the other things, whatever gross things, making your body, flesh, bone, etc. So you see, they say this whole world is made of the bhutas only, four elements. So you are also made of the four elements, and the world is made of the four elements, and the sensate world is here. So enjoy, eat, drink, and sleep. Sleep, drink, eat, marry. And you see, there is no life after death. One dies, see what happens, it burns into ashes. So why are you thinking after life you will go here, you will come back again? Don't believe all those philosophies. So live in this world. So that is called the charvakas, who attain the materialistic philosophy, and they are called the lokayatas also. They are called bhutavit. So they accepted, that's why four gross elements are the cause and only cause behind this creation, and this whole world is nothing but the four elements. So look at that way, and javat jivet sukham jivet. So long you live, live happily. And busmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kuta. Rinam kritva ghritam pibet. You have no money, but you want to drink or eat good food, eat. And use your credit card. Rino, that philosophy was in past. Credit card idea was past also. Now, guna iti guna vida. Sankha, they talk about three gunas. Sankhites, they say the whole world is created of the three gunas. Sattika quality, rajas quality, and tamas quality. So, look at the whole world. You are full of mixture of the three gunas. I am also mixture of the three gunas. This tree, there is a tree of sattika quality tree, rajas quality tree, tamas quality tree. So in human being, in animal world, everywhere you find three gunas are working. So the whole world is nothing but the three gunas and its expression. Guna iti guna veda. And that's why it is also not, it is a philosophy. Why it is a philosophy? Our Premeshananda Maharaj used to say, don't judge anyone. You can blame the gunas. When we get angry, we normally say, you did that, no? Rather you say, your rajogun has done this. Then I will not feel that bad. If you tell me that I am angry, and you tell me, hey, you didn't do it, you are a good guy, but your rajoguno, rajo quality has made it, or your tamas quality has done that. So some Premesh Maharaj used to say that that is one way of escaping from the troubles of the personal judging and doing good and bad and angry and all these things to make our spiritual life. So it's not only philosophy, it may be ridiculous from the outside, but if one practices that, it will bring some spiritual input. And tattaniti tattvida, tattaniti tadvida. Tattva means they think in the three tattvas in South India, there is one group, as the book says. Shankara comments that. Shankara says that in the South India there is a school of thinkers they call Shaivites or Shaivas. They enumerate the three tattvas. The three tattvas is Atman, Shiva, and ignorance. And I do not know. Everything has come out of these three. The whole world is nothing but these three. I do not know much, so I cannot elaborate on this. Then pada iti cha padavit. Pada means this whole world, the Mandukya Upanishad, those who practice, chatuspad brahma, a, u, ma, bindu. So some people, they go up to three. A-U-Ma. This gross world, the world of perception, and the state from which this whole universe has come, that is the Ma, Ishvara. Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Virata. These are technical terms. But this, the whole creation is nothing but these three. Look at the world. You see, gross world, it is Virata. It is infinite. Huh? The sun, moon, stars, galaxies, go to the infinite number of galaxies. It all falls under the category of you chant Om only in the level of A. And then U is the concept of so many heavens. That is, vast region is there beyond this gross. That is U. And M is that from which this subtle and gross came. And Bindu is much beyond. So they are not talking of Bindu, they are talking of the Pada, three Padas. So reality behind this world is constituted with this, what we see in the Jagrat, waking state, what in the dream state you feel, and the dreamless sleep state in these three states of consciousness. Vishaya iti tadvida. Vishaya means, you see, they say, it is, this whole world is nothing but the five Vishayas. What are the Vishayas? Rupa, rasa, sabda, gandha, sparsha. Eyes. A subject of the eye is Vishaya. Rupa, form. Rupa, rasa, tongue. The whole world stays in the tongue. Food. Cooking. So the whole world is nothing but this rasa. The objectively, there is the rasa, gandha and sparsha. So these are the five things, and they think this is the world. Look at this whole world. There are five sense objects are there, a perception, and that is the whole universe. Look at the world only in this perspective of rupa, rasa, sabda, gandha and sparsha. So these are the five sense objects outside, and that is the only reality here. So their idea, their philosophy goes up to that point. Loka iti loka vida. Loka means we have three planes, no? Bhur, Bhuvasva, these are loka. Hindu ideas, there are many lokas, but this has been explained as these three lokas, Bhu, Bhuva, and Swaloka. So these three lokas, they think the whole universe is nothing but the three lokas. You live in this Bhuloka, then you go to the Bhuvaloka and to the Swaloka. And you, this is the reality, ultimate reality is this. And Deva iti cha tadvida. Deva, there are different gods and goddesses. So the whole world is dominated by who? Subtle entities, divine entities we call gods. So we have just quickly finished 8 views, but there are 35 views mentioned there. But ultimate view is that it will come back to that point that these views are partial views. As Ramakrishna said, that you go blind people trying to describe the elephant. So they have partial views, but there is a view which is beyond those, and that is the ultimate indescribable reality, and that is the essence of our very being, and that will come when our clarity of vision will come, when our mind will be clean by practicing the spiritual discipline, whatever we are doing. And we expect that that will come in our life, in this life. Then all the miseries, all the misconceptions will drop and will be established in our eternal peace. So I salute Swami Swahananda Maharaj. I salute Thakur Ma Swamiji and all of you. Namaskar. Thank you.